this morning, and it really is amazing. Last week, Brother Chuck said about investing, how we invest. Brother Mitch was saying what is happening to our investment, what is going on. The Word of God is going out. People are getting saved. And this morning's sermon is on the parable of the talent. And Jesus gave us this talent to His hearers and His disciples. And we're going to kind of dig into this. So have your Bibles ready. Join me in Matthew chapter 25, starting in the 14th verse. Our Lord spoke to us and said, "For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went out and traded with them and gained 5 more. In the same manner, the one who had received 2 talents gained 2 more, but he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came, and he settled, he settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you have entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, "Master, you have entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up to his master and said, I seem to have a little tickle going on in there this morning. "Master, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." But his master answered and said to him, "You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has more shall be given." Let me say that again. "For everyone who has, more shall be given. He will have an abundance, but from the one who does not have, even what he does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word that you have given us. May you teach us this morning what you would have us learn. We have 3 things in general in this parable. The first one is the trust committed to these servants. Their master delivered them his goods, having appointed them to work, for Christ keeps no servants to be idle. He left them something to work upon. Thank you, Bob. Oh, I don't know if I can put a lozenger in my mouth. I'll be, that thing will come flying out eventually while I'm trying to talk. Oh, boy, but I'll take the water. For Christ keeps no servants to be idle. If you're a servant of Jesus Christ, you should be working at something. Something. Even if it's to your own soul. Oh, that's better. All right. Take note, Christ's servants have and receive their all from Him, for they are of themselves worth nothing. We are of ourselves worth nothing. Nor we have anything to call our own but sin. What do I own? I own my own sin. I own my own sin. Number two, our receiving from Christ is in order for our working for Him. Our privileges are intended to find us busy. When you got saved, you were put on the side where the sheep are, not the goats. You were taken out of the goats. You were taken out of this world and placed in the family of Christ, in the family of God. And everybody has something to do. Three, whatever we receive to be made use of for Christ, still the property is vested in Him. We are but tenants in this land. We don't own any of this stuff. Even your own attributes, the things that you have, your voice, okay? Your mind, your eyesight, your hands, your feet, your heart, your emotions, okay? They've all been given to you. Who of us has produced ourselves? Who of us has brought ourselves into existence? We were born from a mother. But, okay, I want you to understand this, but God knitted us together in that womb. God put us together, and in you, He placed attributes, and He placed desires, and He placed abilities, and He placed talents. And I'm not talking money like Jesus was talking here, and He used the parable of earthly things to explain spiritual things. The talents that you have, even the talents you don't know you have yet, they were all given to you by God. And for what purpose? So that you could spend them on yourselves, as the world does, making money, debauching, drinking, can I say it, whoring around, getting into trouble, stirring up trouble? No. All those abilities were given to you so that you might bring glory to your Creator who gave them to you. It is for His glory that we exist. The Lord's bondservant... The property is vested in Him. We are but tenants upon this land, stewards of His manifold graces. As in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says, the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, be able to teach, patient with wrongdoing. The scripture there describes us as bondservants. We belong to our Lord Jesus Christ. He purchased us with His own blood, with His own life, which is worth more than all the gold and silver in the whole universe. Amen? Amen. His blood poured out for us. Now observe here, on what occasion this trust was committed to these servants? The master was traveling into a far country. This is explained by Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. When He ascended on high, He gave gifts to men. I don't want to go too long. It's 11:09, and I want to make sure I stay right where I should be. But Ephesians explained it. Christ left. He is the master. He has imparted to us talents and gifts. He gave those gifts to the church. When Christ went to heaven, He was as a man traveling into a far country. That is, He went with a purpose to be away a great while. He has been away a great while. It's been over 2,000 years. No, not quite 2,000 years. If I reckon by the calendar, 2033 would be roughly about where it would be exactly 2,000 years. But he's been away a long time. And people are saying, well, he's not coming. He's not there. But we who are servants know that he is coming. We don't know the day or the hour, but we are waiting with expectation. Are you using your talents as the days drag on? What are you doing for the Lord? When he went, he took care to furnish his church with all things necessary for during his personal absence. For and in the consideration of his departure, he committed to his church the truths, the laws, the promises, the powers. As it says in 1 Timothy, O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter and opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and thus have gone astray from the faith. And that is in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. You can write these down and we can look them up then. But I'm giving to you them here because there's quite a bit to this. When I looked at this parable, and you go, okay, it's a short parable, tells about three servants. Okay, two did great, one really messed up. And the master said, this is what you get for being faithful or unfaithful. It looks like a small parable. But when you start digging in there, it is huge. I got like 16 pages here. There's a lot. This is a turkey dinner. I should tell Pastor Rich I need at least three Sundays to preach on this. He gives me one, so I've got to talk fast, so to speak. The good things that are committed to us, and he sent his Spirit to help us use them. He didn't leave us barren. He gave us gifts. He gave us those talents. And some of us servants, they're going out and they're taking five and they're getting five more, they have 10. They're taking two and they have two more, they have four. But some servants are taking the one and they're just digging a hole and burying it in the ground because they didn't understand their master. I did look up to see what a talent was, okay? It's a unit of weight, and I used silver just because I was curious. Since Jesus here in the story is talking about money that was given to these servants. As of February 2016, the price of silver was about $15 per troy ounce, or about 50 cents per gram. So a 33-kilogram silver talent would be worth $16,500 in today's money. When I looked at gold, it was like, holy mackerel. That was in the millions of dollars. But let's be something we can wrap our minds around. $16,000. And, you know, some of those servants got five of them. Some got two and got one. As I've said before, I want you to note this. Christ's gifts are rich and valuable. The purchase of his blood was poured out so that we could have those, so that we could have the opportunity to exercise our talents. If you're not in Christ, everything you do is as filthy rags. It says so in the Scriptures. You have to be in the Lord Jesus. Be His bond servant. Be working for Him. He gave to some more and to others less. To one, five talents, to another, two, and to another, one. To everyone according to his abilities. God knows your abilities. He knows what you can and can't do. And he doesn't give you more than you can handle. I find it interesting in my own person. I never thought that I would be up here preaching before a congregation. This year is my 40th anniversary from high school. I'm dating myself. Yee-hoo! And when I was back in high school, you can ask my wife. That's right, she's gone. She went with the kids. I can say whatever I want about her, and I won't get in trouble. Unless you rat on me. And you can. I never thought I was going to be a preacher. I never thought I had those talents. I never thought I had that ability. But obviously, God put it there a long time ago. He put it there when he was knitting me together in my mother's womb. My mom still can't believe that I preach. I did see her yesterday, and I said, Mom, I'm preaching tomorrow. You want to come and see? Oh, she went right on to something else. I said to my dad, hey, Dad, I'm preaching tomorrow. You want to come and see? Oh, I'm not sure. I said, okay. I'll just keep praying for them. You know what I mean? You can't get somebody to do something for you but the Holy Spirit. You sick the Holy Spirit on them. That's what you do. You don't worry about those sort of things. You don't work yourself up over that. You pray and have the Holy Spirit work on their hearts. It's better than you working on their hearts. I could have used guilt, but that wouldn't have been fair, right? That wouldn't have been right. So I let the Holy Spirit work on them. My mother and father may be here one day. You don't know. I don't know, but we'll pray for it. Observe this. Everyone had some, one talent at least, and that is not a despicable stock for a poor servant. You know the one talent that everybody has? Your soul. Your soul was given back to you the day you accepted Christ as your Savior. Do you understand that? Before that, your soul was dead. To spiritual things, you had nothing. There was nothing there. God had to move in your soul to quicken it so that you would turn and go, there is a God. Save me. And he went, yes, I will. And you have the one talent. You have your soul, a living soul, a soul open up to spiritual things, a soul that is open up to the Word of God, to the voice of God, to the moving of God's Spirit in your life. Mitch, you've seen it. People get saved. The Gideons that are going out there and they're handing out testaments, they're not doing that under their own power. They're doing that by the power of the Holy Spirit working in them, driving in them, moving in them. They don't care if it's raining. It doesn't matter if it's raining. The Spirit moves them. So everybody has at least one talent. You have your soul that's been made alive to the things of God. Been made alive to this Word that you read and you go, oh, and it fills you. It gives you strength. It gives you courage. And secondly, all did not have a like. We are all different people. Some people get five talents. Some people get two. Some people get one. I don't know what your talents are. I cannot see into the spiritual realm and look deep inside of you as God can. Only you know what your talents are. Only you know. Only you know. Ask God to reveal those talents in you, those talents of prayer, those talents of fasting, those talents of speech, those talents of good work, those talents of tears. Can you imagine someone in our congregation or somebody you know who is hurting? They've been beat up, maybe by somebody in their family, maybe by somebody around them, but they're crying, they're in anguish. And how much more does it help them that when you come alongside them and you cry with them? Empathy. Love. To truly love someone with agape love, the love of God, the love that God had for us that He poured out, and Jesus Christ, and Christ poured out His love upon the cross and bled for us that we might live spiritually. That love, that great love. They'll know we're Christians by our love. By our love. Pour that love out into the world. Love them. Expecting nothing in return. That's a talent that is extraordinary. To love someone and expect nothing in return. The world, oh, they'll love you. They'll love you if they get something back. Right? They'll love you until you say something like, I'm a Christian. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by Him. And then they hate you. But you still love them. Because I want to tell you something. This world is held captive. All those kids in those colleges smashing stuff up because they want a socialistic regime. They don't want to see God. They don't want to see Jesus. They don't want nothing to do with that. They're prisoners. Their hands are tied. They're in handcuffs. They have prison clothes on, handed them by Satan. And they're being led to the slaughter. I mean, if they hate you, tell them the truth. Jesus loves you. He died for you. And remember, they're not attacking you, they're attacking Jesus. Because Jesus dwells inside of you. Give your talents out. There's different management skills and improvement of this trust, which we have an account of here, okay? The first guy went out, five talents, he worked in his trade, whatever he was doing, and he made five more. The gentleman that went out with two, he worked in his trade, he got two more. But the gentleman that went out and hid the one, he had no trade. He said, I'm afraid of my master. I don't want to lose this money, I don't want to lose this talent. So I'm going to go bury it in the ground. I'll hide it so that I can give it back to him when he comes back. Because all the servants knew that the master was coming back. So what is our trade? A true Christian is a spiritual tradesman. All right? Trades are called mysteries. And without controversy, great is the mystery of the goodness. It is a manufacturing trade. There is something to be done by upon our hearts and for the good of others. There's a rebuilding of us inside. You can get saved, okay? You can accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then, I'll get to that later on. I'll read the Bible, you know, when I get to it, I guess. You know, I'll go to church when, it's a little early right now. I wish they could start at 2 in the afternoon, you know, that sort of thing. They don't do anything with it, okay? One of the talents you can exercise is prayer. Prayer is our weapon. You know what I mean? Prayer is, and I want to say this, and I don't mean it the way I'm going to say it, but prayer is easy. You can pray anytime. I pray all the time at work. I pray for people. I pray before I eat. I pray, Lord, help me in this situation. Help me in that situation. Lord, I pray, open my eyes. I may see where I'm going into. A lot of times I go into a place at night, late at night, a trailer park or something, and some of the trailer parks are really junky, you know. First thing I look for is dog poop. If there's dog poop there, there's got to be a dog. We don't know if he's friendly. Lord, protect me. Right? Pray about stuff. Pray is your weapon. Prayer is strong. When you're praying in the Lord, and you're asking Him, Lord, help me. Help me to see. Help me to feel. Help me to know what's going on in this situation. You don't think He will? How many times in your lives have you prayed and something miraculous has happened? Think about it. When have you prayed and something miraculous has happened? It could be a situation, a person. It could be something in your life. Pray. We are merchants in the spiritual realm. That's what Christians are. We're working at what? Things that people can't even see. Spiritual stuff, spiritual realm. You know the demons are all about us and the angels are all about us. That spiritual realm is right here, all around us. And we impact it every time we pray. We impact it every time we worship. I have a book on spiritual warfare. Obviously, because I'm studying to be a minister, so I gather all kinds of books. And this minister wrote this book on casting out demons, casting out demonic forces in people. And one of the things that he found, which was really interesting, I read this and I went, sure, it makes sense. He has one gentleman go with when he's doing an exorcism. One gentleman, he's not to interact with the pastor. He's not to interact with the possessed. He's not to talk to anybody or anything. He's to stand in the corner and praise God the whole time. Excuse me, this is going on. This exorcism's going on. He's praising God. And you know why it works? Demonic forces cannot praise God. They remember they used to praise God, but they cannot anymore. And it just drives them insane. It's like pouring acid on something. Praise God. Any time of the day, you can praise God. You can exercise that talent. You can praise God. You can pray for those around us. Now we know two of the servants, they worked with their talents. I know what we are describing money in here, but in our congregation, and we're looking at this from a spiritual sense, we're praying, we're praising, we're giving of our time and talents. Excuse me, Sunday school teachers. We have, I guess we don't call it Venture Cup, Youth Club on a Sunday night. We have them. They're putting their talents forward. They're being here helping kids. And sometimes, now, those of us who have been there and have been teachers, don't those kids bless us more than we bless them? Sometimes it occurs that way. Boy, sometimes those teenagers can teach you something about yourself that you went, I never saw that. Kids have a way of doing that to you, you know it. You're going to learn that. They're going to teach you things, especially when they get to be teenagers. Oh my goodness, teenagers are so much fun. They're so interesting. They're so vibrant. They're so ready to spread their talents on certain things, except for dishes, garbage, and mowing the grass. We don't want to do that. We can do other things. My son David, he is going to be an exceptional mechanic, okay? A knuckle buster, I'm going to call him. He tends to get a little angry with his car, and then the hands start moving around, and they're really fast, and before you know it, something goes snap, and then there's a knuckle busted, and we got to go find a Band-Aid and some Hurichrome, or Neosporin. And usually there's a couple of little expletives that come out, and he's swearing at the car, and I'm going, the car doesn't hear you. The car doesn't understand that you're mad at it. I say, quit being mad. Calm down. And work the problem. Don't let the problem work you. It's one of the things that we could use in our spiritual walk. When things aren't going well, and we're having problems, whatever you're doing in your life, I don't care if it's dishes, cars, spiritual things, whatever's going on, if you're getting angry, walk away. Just for 2 minutes, walk away. Lord, I'm really upset over this. Calm down. Let the anger go. Come back. And work the problem. And mostly the problem is you need more prayer. Pray about it. Let God give you the answer. Well, the last servant, he digged in the earth. He dug a hole in the earth and he hid that talent. He hid what his master had given him. For fear it would be stolen. Now, here's what he didn't do. I wrote these down so I wouldn't miss them. He did not misspend. Misemploy, he did not embezzle it, squander it away, but he hid it. He hid that talent. And since we're kind of looking at abilities and money the same way, money is like manure. Good for nothing in the heap, but it must be spread. It's the same way with your talents. They are good for nothing if you just heap them up inside of you and you don't use them. You got all these great talents. You could be a great orator. You could be so filled with the Spirit that you could lay hands on, heal people. Be healed. You could build houses. You could fix cars. You could cry tears with someone and help them. You could love them to death, or I should say to life. That's the wrong thing to say. You could love them to life. But if you don't do it, what worth is it? You're like a big pile of manure. It's just sitting there, rotting, stinking, attracting bugs, flies, gnats, maggots, all that stuff. Rotting. Don't be a pile of manure. Spread yourself out there. Put it in the field. Grow things. Isn't that interesting? Don't you just love living around Lebanon County when a certain time of the year you go, oh, that fresh farm air. Yeah, it's really good. The manure is everywhere. They're spreading it on the fields to help the plants grow, to put those nutrients back in the soil. Spread yourself out there. Don't be a lump. That's what he did. He became a lump. He sat there and did nothing with his talent. He buried it in the ground. Well, then what happened? After a while, we're not sure how long, the master came back and he said, I need an account from my servants. What have you done? Come, come. And the two servants came and they said, Master, Master, you gave me five. I got five more. And the master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You were good with little. I'm going to give you even more. Come into the joy of your master. And he brought him in. The other servant came, two. I got two more. Master, Master, thank you for giving me two. I got two more. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in here. Now comes the last servant. Master, Master, here's the talent you gave me. I protected it. It's now yours. Didn't I do a good job? I didn't lose it. I didn't squander it. But I didn't do anything with it. And the master said, you lazy, wicked servant. Why did you do that? Why didn't you use what I gave you? Why didn't you use your talent? The one talent I gave you. If you'd used one and got one more, he'd had two. He'd had two. And that lazy servant was cast out into outer darkness. Now, the thing about that lazy servant was, he said, I was afraid. You're a hard master. You reap where you don't sow, and you sow where other people's reap, and you do these things. I wonder if he was actually a saved servant. I wonder. Because as I look through this parable, the other two servants knew their master. They loved him. They went out and worked for him. They took the chance. They could have lost maybe one or two of the talents of the five. And then he only had maybe eight. I don't know. But they took the chance. They were in love with their master and they wanted to please him. This third servant didn't know his master. He said, oh, you're hard. I was scared. I was afraid. Who of us is afraid of Jesus Christ? He loves us. He pours out his love. He poured out his love in the Word. He gives it all the time. Why would you be afraid to invest your talents in the world? Why would you be afraid to invest your money in the offering to be used by God to spread the gospel? I'm not afraid of our Lord Jesus. He loves me. He talks to me. He talks to you. Now, there was another parable that I was supposed to hit, but I'm not going to have time to do that. The parable of the goats and the sheep. And that parable is really about judgment. The sheep did what they were told to do, spread the love. The goats didn't. And I dare say that it is happening even as we talk. The Lord Jesus is separating goats from sheep. He's bringing the sheep into His churches, into His kingdom, and the goats are walking away. The sheep are getting talents. The sheep are getting abilities. The sheep are getting funds. The goats are walking away. So this morning, as we come before the Lord and we pray,
Father in heaven, I ask that we would all be faithful servants, that we would take the talents that you have given us, whatever they may be, and that we would use them for your kingdom, that we would grow them, that we would be faithful and loving servants. Thank you, Father, for sowing and showing your love and mercy to us, that you have given us all that we need to be profitable for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.